an old man now, but when I was young, I was one of the 12 original disciples and closer to Jesus than I think anyone. In fact, I have at times been called the beloved disciple. Jesus was my teacher, my Lord, my friend. I spent 3 years with Jesus, and I grew to know him well. You know his story. He began as a Galilean preacher, proclaiming that God's kingdom was near. He knew God. He called him Father. And power. Jesus had a power about him. He talked and acted as only one come from God could. He called me just as he was beginning his ministry. But we were closer than the others. I was privileged to have a bond with him that the others didn't. We just understood each other. You know, many think that Jesus was not affected by the things around him, but he was, just like we all are. He was aware of the opposition he faced from the very people he was trying to save. And I know now that he knew from the beginning that he would die, and that it would be by a cross. The cross. I still remember it all so well. It was so painful to watch him die. It all began with a meal we shared. It was a Thursday, and it was time to celebrate the Passover. So we all gathered together to share this special meal. And as usual, I sat right next to Jesus, well, reclined. We didn't use chairs like you do now. Usually at a meal, we'd laugh, we'd talk as we ate, but not that night. I could tell there was something bothering Jesus, that there would be something different about this night. There was a heaviness in the room, a weight, an oppression. Before eating, he washed our feet. This was servant's work. He whose feet I was not fit to touch washed mine. And he kept telling us about how we needed to serve and to love one another. And then he spoke about the Holy Spirit, called the Spirit a comforter, and that he would send him to us. It was moving, but strange. I felt so uneasy. It was like he was preparing us for something, for his departure, and I know now, of course, that's exactly what he was doing. And then, during the meal, Jesus, just out of nowhere, said that one of us would betray him. That this betrayal was prophesied in Scripture, and one of us would do it. We'd all traveled with him. We ate with him. We lived with him. We left everything for him, and now one of us would betray him? He was so troubled as he spoke. The worry and the heartbreak were written on his face. Who could do such a thing? Who would do such a thing? Since I was sitting right next to him, Peter asked me to find out more, to see if I knew from Jesus who would do this. So I leaned over and I asked Jesus, who would do such a thing, such an awful thing? And Jesus simply said, "It is he to whom I shall give this morsel of bread that I have dipped." And then he dipped a piece of bread and handed it to Judas. And Judas just stared at Jesus with, what was in his eyes? Was it sorrow, anger, frustration, pain? Whatever it was, Jesus told him that what he had to do quickly. So Judas got up and ran from the room. Some of us disciples didn't understand what was going on. Judas was our treasurer. He was in charge of our money. So they thought maybe Jesus told him to go and to buy something. We weren't sure. So we continued with the meal, though I can't say I ate very much. And Jesus again emphasized to us all over and over again how much we were to love each other. I was so concerned. There was such a heaviness about him. I know now, and I remember it now, that he warned us many times what was about to happen, but in that moment, and as we walked with him, I never heard any of it. I, who claims to be closer to him than anyone. After the meal, we left for a garden in Jerusalem called Gethsemane. And as he often did, Jesus wanted some time to pray. So we went out there, and he brought me and Peter and James into the garden with him, but we fell asleep. It was late. We were tired, and Jesus went on to pray. But I remember being awakened, jolted awake by the sound of a large crowd marching in, priests and scribes and soldiers coming in. There were so many of them, but at the front of them all was Judas leading them at the fore of the group. When he came up to Jesus, I couldn't hear what he said. But before I'd even fully woken up, they were leading Jesus away. What happened? I just shook my head and realized that I was indeed awake and tried to figure it out. Everybody else seemed to scatter away, and I thought of running too, but instead I followed at a distance. I had to find out what was going on. The soldiers and Pharisees first took Jesus to the court of the high priest, but they weren't there very long. Quickly, they took him on to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, the final authority in all Judea. A crowd began to gather around Pilate's palace. News of his arrest was spreading, and people came to see what was going on. I remember the sun coming up with Jesus still before Pilate and the crowd growing larger and larger. Rumors began to circulate. Jesus was pronounced guilty of treason. He was to be beaten. I can still hear the crack of the whip, the cry of his agony. But I knew Jesus couldn't be killed. How could he be? And so by the time Pilate stepped out onto his overlook, onto his patio porch, the crowd had grown so large, but when Pilate came out, everyone fell silent. And then some guards brought Jesus out, bloodied, tied up, adorned with a crown of thorns. "Here is your king," Pilate said. And this just infuriated some of the crowd. They began to say, "Crucify him." Who'd call for such an awful thing? And Pilate responded, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the crowd spoke quietly at first, but it was like a wave billowing up and growing larger and larger as they began to chant, "Crucify, crucify." What started with only a few people was a sea of sound. "Crucify him, crucify him." It was terrifying. Here was Jesus, my friend, the only hope, the only one who could deliver our people, and they were demanding his execution? The crowd yelled louder and louder until Pilate finally agreed and walked back inside with Jesus. The next thing I knew, he was surrounded by guards and carrying a Roman cross. All I could do was stare. It was clear what was to happen next. I was numbed by the horror of it. Jesus was going to die. The soldiers led him through a crowd and through the city, up to a hill called Golgotha, a small hill the Romans used for this disgusting practice. And when Jesus arrived, there were already two criminals nailed to crosses, and the soldiers then went right to work on Christ. How could this be happening? Not to Jesus. How could one with such compassion, insight, and power be crucified? How could God let this happen? Jesus was sent by God. We called him the Son of God. Didn't God care? Where was God? At first, I stayed far away from the cross, watching him suffer from a distance. But I couldn't help myself. I grew closer and closer. I had to. He was so anguished, so beaten, so bloodied. A few of us gathered by the cross. Mary Magdalene, a few women, and Mary, his mother. Poor Mary. She just stood there, ashen-faced and silent. And as I walked over to her, Jesus saw us, and he spoke. "Woman, behold your son." Then he looked to me and said, "Behold your mother." He wanted me to care for her. Here he was dying in unbelievable pain, barely able to breathe, and he worried over his mom. We stood there. Mary, myself, the others, we watched. The anguish was unbearable. But then I had the strangest feeling that somehow Jesus was there in my place. That it should have been me on that cross, but it was him. I didn't know what to make of it. What he was doing, what he was suffering, he was doing and suffering for me. And all I could do was watch. Finally, Jesus summoned his last bit of strength and said, "It is finished." It was an announcement. Final proclamation, more than it was a cry. His work was complete. And then it was silence. Jesus was dead. We stood there, stared at his lifeless form. All he stood for, all he did, now lifeless. Finally, and cruelly, a soldier speared him in the side to check that he was dead, and at that I took Mary by the arm and we left together. We took one last look and then slowly began walking down the hill. His final words, "It is finished," ringing in my ears. All the world was empty. And I really thought that Friday was the end of everything. But as close as I was to Jesus, I should have known that Jesus wouldn't let it end that way. The tragedy, the horror, the pain was real, but Jesus had one more surprise in store for us. But that's a story for Easter Sunday.